Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to read a good bit here. So let's pray first, because I certainly don't want to start preaching. Sometimes I get mixed up and get going in the Word there, and I'll forget to pray, and I don't want to do that. And I prayed before we got here, just so you know, but I don't forget to pray. So let's pray, and appreciate the opportunity to be in here, and appreciate Brother Bloom. Always, I like happy people. Well, I have a hard time, the old long face, Chris, we're here talking about God. Please don't laugh at me. You know how many times we can't have it? We've got to, and sometimes a face so long you throw it out the window and use it for a fire escape. You know what I mean? Just long faces. I don't like long faced Christians. We're not going to hell. Even if the whole world falls down, everything else, anything less than hell is cream. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So let's be happy about it. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. I thank you for this dear church and the faithfulness many years here and the faithfulness and the way they've touched this community. I appreciate Brother Bloom and appreciate his friendship, Mrs. Bloom, and pray Lord you'll continue to bless them here, and thank you for his years here as well, and Lord, I don't take it lightly for him to trust the pulpit to me here this morning. So Lord, I don't want to be the one that takes the pulpit. I want it to be you. So I pray, Lord, you'll bless our time. I want to be a real blessing. Simple message here this morning, but I want it to be a blessing. Lord, use it and multiply it. May it make a difference. May we be different when we walk out these doors than when we came in. And we'll give the praise and the glory for it all in Christ's name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to kind of walk through this passage, bits and pieces, and then I got some points I want to make. Verse number one, now faith, and of course the preacher was talking about this in Sunday school, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's almost as if it's tangible, but something that we hoped for. And again, hope is not a wish, I coulda, cross my fingers and cross my eyes and everything else. It's a confident expectation. I have a very good hope that my wife's gonna be in the house when I wake up tomorrow morning. Because I have faith in her. You see what I'm saying? I don't have faith that I'm much of a catch, but I do have faith in her integrity. She's going to be there tomorrow morning. I have a confident expectation. Now, faith will watch me. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Watch, the evidence of things not seen. It's not the things seen. It's the evidence of the things not seen. In John 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, he's talking about the Spirit. And so we can't see the Spirit, but we can see what the Spirit does. You can't see the wind, but you can see what the wind does. By the way, how far in here does the hurricanes go? Did they get in this far? Sometimes, oh my, bless your heart. So you feel the winds. Now you can't see the winds, but you feel what the winds can do. You see what the winds can do. Faith is the same thing. You can't see the faith, but you can see what true faith does. There's evidence of the faith. If there's no evidence of the faith, your faith is dead. Hang on. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, through faith, what is it? Through the Word of God tells us where the world came from. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Now, I don't know all the story. We don't have it all there, but my guess is that Adam and Eve told Cain and Abel about the time when they sinned and God slew he killed the animal and covered them in coats of skins. And my guess is they knew that there is, without the shedding of blood, there's no redemption. There's no remission of sin. There was the blood that was shed. My guess is they knew that. Abel decided he's going to do what God told him to do. Cain says, I'm going to do what I want to do, and then got mad at God when he didn't accept it. By faith, Abel did what he was supposed to do. By faith, Enoch was translated and should not see death. Verse 6, but without faith, look at this, but without faith it is impossible. What does it look at? Is impossible. Impossible. By faith, it is impossible. Listen, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, you're to come to God, you've got to believe that he is. He is who he says he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, if you believe that he is who he is, then you are going to diligently seek him. Diligently seek him is the evidence of that faith. Now, if you don't diligently seek him, then you don't have living faith. You've got dead faith. You might have an idea, but faith, listen, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence. You see what I'm saying? Faith is the evidence. If there is no evidence, there's no real faith. By faith, number seven, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark and saving of his house. What was the evidence of Noah's faith? He built the ark. The Noah's faith also continued. It was a good faith because it did it for 120 years. In the midst of all the fuss and all the laughter and all the mocking and all the crazy stuff. Listen, it says here, he says, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. It had never rained before. You're building a what? Why are you building out here in the middle of sand? What in the world that for? Crazy Noah. Now think about it. There's crazy, listen, there are people in your neighborhood that said, there goes those crazy Christians that went to church again this morning. Why? Because, listen, by faith, you came and said, you know what, I want to hear, I'm supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and I'm going to go get some more of his word. Amen. By faith, I went to church this morning to hear from the word of God. To hear from God. Okay, we got number eight. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he could after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. What was the evidence of Abraham's faith? He obeyed. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. So by faith, not only did he go, but he stayed. Well, the other night, the preacher very graciously has kind of allowed us to come down. We actually came down a little extra early and spent a day, went over to see the lighthouse at Ponce de Leon, spent the day and just kind of went over and so forth. I guess it was a Friday night. My wife got the munchies and we left the hotel and I punched in the GPS and there's a Walmart. I mean, just right down the corner here, man. So we went down to Walmart and went out there. Now, there's also a Dairy Queen between Walmart and the hotel. And we stopped there on the way home. But anyway, by the way, I've been trying to get in shape. Round is a shape. So, now, when Abraham and Sarah went out, he said, go. There was no Walmarts. They were not going to say, well, let's go up the road about 500 miles in our air-conditioned car. We're going to stop in the city up there. We'll get into the Comfort Inn, and then we'll have a little dinner. We'll go down there to Bob Evans and have a little dinner, and we'll start out the next day. No. They were going into no man land. They didn't know what they were getting into. And it says he sojourned. You know what that means? He stayed there. Ladies, can you imagine? There's no running water. There's no bathrooms. There's no Walmarts. There's no Payless shoes. There's none of those things. And they went and they stayed. He sojourned. What? By faith. Verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive. Oh, by the way, look back to verse 10. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. That's what he was heading for. He didn't know where that was. He says, I want you to come out of the land of Ur, the Chaldees, and I'll show you where we're going to go. Well, where I'll show you. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now listen, there's a lot of things that we live by faith, a lot of promises. Faith, I look at this. Faith is action based on a promise or command of God. He talked about action based on doctrine. Same thing. Action based on a promise or a God says this is what we're supposed to do and this is why we're supposed to do it. And so what? We do it. That's what faith is. Now, if we don't live by faith, we don't take those steps of faith, we have it. We can say we have faith. James says, you say you have faith. Without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works, because the works really are the evidence of the faith. Amen. Now, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. What does that mean? If you keep looking back like old Lot's wife, you keep looking back, think, well, we kind of wish I had never left. Fact is, you might get an opportunity to go back. It's not a good opportunity, but it's an opportunity. If they just thought about it a little bit, allowed themselves to long for the old days, it sounds like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. What, you bring us out here to kill us in the middle of the wilderness, Moses? Is that what you did? Boy, we should just stay in Egypt. My soul. Stay in that mess. Then to bring us out to die. Listen, God didn't call us to a mess. He called us to glory and virtue. He called us to a promise. He says, come. Now watch me. Hold on. I'm going to give you these few things. Then there's some quick things. We're going to have to give it to you fast. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that had received the promises of offered up his own only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now I'm taking for granted, Abraham's story, but there was a lot of things that Abraham did at the beginning of his life. I mean, the first thing that happens, when he goes out, there's a famine. And so he hightails it down to Egypt. Now, I don't know how, people looking at that a little bit differently here and there. There's several places where he said he sought the Lord and built an altar. He didn't do that right before he went down to Egypt. I'm not so sure he was supposed to go. God didn't send me. He just sent him to the land of Canaan. And he gets down there and he gets scared. He says, oh, my soul, my wife is a good-looking woman. They're going to kill me to try to get her. Tell you what, Sarah, I want you to tell them that you're my sister. The fact is, she was his half-sister. She was his father's daughter, but not his mother's daughter. And so he said, tell them that you're my sister. That way they won't kill me. Now, think about this. Now, hang on. God had promised Abraham that he would be a father of a great nation. How many kids did he have at that point? So he didn't have any kids yet. He can't die. He can't die. Because God promised he's going to have a son. And he doesn't have a son yet. So God's promise is, you're going to live. Basically, he was immortal at least until Isaac was born. Are you following me here? You're looking like a calf looking at a new gate. Listen, he could not have died because God says they're going to make you a great nation. And if he's not a great nation yet, or at least doesn't have some seed, some son alive, he can't die yet. But he was scared he would. Now, let me give you a couple of things here. In 1 Corinthians 10, you don't need to turn to it. Let me read it to you. It says, now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is a common to man. But God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10, 11 through 14. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. When I remember first reading, what does idolatry have to do with all this other things? Listen, if you're trusting you, rather God who's faithful, you're an idol worshiper, and you're your own idol. You are your own idol. Stop trusting you. Listen, what's he saying here? He's basically saying, if these guys can do it, well, so can you. There's no temptation that's taken you except that which is common to man. Now, in the Bible, there's certain men are known for certain things, they have a certain legacy. I mean, you got Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, you've got David, who's a man after God's own heart. You have Saul, who is a man after man's heart. You got Solomon, the wisest man in the whole world. You know, Abraham's legacy is this. He believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham's legacy is that he was a man of faith. Now, wait a minute. Let me give you number one here. Here's some things. I'm going to do it quick here. I've got a little outline. We're going to do our best here. Number one, Abraham was an ordinary man. Abraham was an ordinary man. Abraham was not naturally a great man. Now, we think he was. The Pharisees said to Jesus, "Oh, are you greater than our father Abraham?" Well, they just thought he was a great guy. But wait, watch me. Now, here's three words here I want you to catch. Now, Abraham was an ordinary man. So Abraham was an ordinary man with, watch me, ordinary faults. You read the life of Abraham, you're going to find he was a man. I'm so glad that God puts men in there with warts and all. Why? Because what he said there in Corinthians, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, lest his fall." You think you're better than Abraham? We see Abraham and all his faults. We see David and all his faults. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy." You know what mercy is? It means you don't deserve any of it. If we deserved any of it, we don't need mercy. Abraham was an ordinary man with ordinary faults. Watch this. Abraham was an ordinary man with ordinary fears. You get scared? You know, we see God do this and this and this and this and this and this and this, and we get a phone call and everything, our whole earth, whole world falls apart as if we think God fell off the throne. He must have been sleeping on the job today. We've forgotten that God is still God. Ordinary man with ordinary faults, ordinary fears, and watch me, ordinary failures. Go back and read it. Go back and just read what happened to Abraham. I mean, he messed up. He's a liar. A couple times. He was a swinger. Adulterer. Didn't matter whether his wife was in on it or not. He was called to come out from among them. Terah, his father, had those old Sumerian gods there. Birthplace of mankind, right in that same area there. Ordinary faults, ordinary fears, ordinary failures. What made Abraham a great man was his willingness to separate himself unto an extraordinary God. Now, we can live a life that pleases God while still being an ordinary person. Do you realize God knows you naturally have faults, and you have fears, and you have failures? But we also have an extraordinary God. We can live a life that pleases God because we can choose to live a life of faith. Now, I read it for you. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is the evidence? We diligently seek him. Faith overcomes our faults. Faith overcomes our fears. Faith overcomes our failures. We learn in God's Word that we can have a life of faith even though we fall short from time to time. Abraham had, listen, he was a mess, but tell you one thing he didn't do. He didn't go back. He got scared along the way, and we all do. There's no temptation hath taken you except that which is common to man. Beware lest you, listen, we shall, if you think you stand, lest you fall. But Abraham, listen, on our path, on our faith. Now, I'm not talking about getting to heaven. You're saved by grace through faith, not of works, as any man should boast. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, because God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when you receive, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've got the gift of God. You can't lose it. It's a gift. He's transferred possession. Now, once you're saved, you have access to all the blessings in heaven. I think there's going to be an awful lot of people that's going to get to heaven and find a great big closet in their mansion and say, what's that? That was all the blessings I want to send down there. But you never asked for them. But while we're living this life of faith, we get scared because we're faulty. So we get fears and then we fail. But God says, I knew that. You know why I know he knew that? Because he wrote in there, if we confess our sins with faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, we should have a sincere heart's desire to have a perfect faith toward God, but we are going to fail. Those failures do not disqualify us from returning to the Lord and picking up our life of faith. There's no way that anyone could say that God chose Abraham because of his perfection. There's no way anyone could claim that Abraham was considered righteous because he never doubted. Because he did. No one could ever claim that Abraham was kept by God because Abraham was faithful. Now, he kept going, but he was a mess along the way. You know what we're talking about. Now, listen to me. Abraham was called of God and protected. Now, this is so important. Protected and blessed by God because God is faithful. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that he winks at sin. He died for that sin. Amen. We mess up. We should go to hell. You'd break the law at one point, you're guilty of all. But God is faithful, who has given his word that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. He has given his word that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Watch me. Abraham was not always faithful to God, but Abraham had faith in the faithfulness of God. The life of Abraham teaches us that we can be a person of faith even though we have faults and fears and failures. Malachi 3:6 is talking, he's talking to Israel. By the way, this is kind of like one of the last things he says before 400 years of silence. He tells Israel this. Now think about this for 400 years. He says, listen, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. That word Jacob there, of course, Jacob before he was called a prince with God, Israel. Jacob means a supplanter, somebody that's kind of, you may have somebody named Jacob, that's fine. But just so you know, that Jacob is saying, I'm going to call you Jacob because you're a rascal. In fact, sometimes you're kind of a dirty dog. Kind of you know, you kind of weaseled your way in there and the birthright and all this stuff, you know, and the blessing. And he calls them sons of Jacob. He says, you know why I haven't killed a whole bunch of you all? Because that's just who I am. God is love. And he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And this is herein is love. Not that we loved him, but that he first loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins, amends a maker. I'm almost done. Abraham was an ordinary man. Abraham had ordinary faults. He had ordinary fears. He had ordinary failures. And there's no temptation that hath taken you except that which is common, ordinary. And by the way, failures are only final if we forsake our faith in the faithfulness of our Father. Oh no, I messed up. I guess I better, I can't do it anymore. It's all done. He's probably finished with me. No, you don't know God. Proverbs 24:16 says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Listen, Abraham, you ready for this? I'm going to get you this and I'll be done. Abraham, ordinary man with ordinary faults, ordinary fears, ordinary failures. And ready for this? He had ordinary faith. Now, see, we say, well, I have a little faith and I lost. No. He had ordinary faith. It wasn't extraordinary faith. It was ordinary faith. What we call faith a lot of times is not faith. It's feelings. You get in here and you get all and you learn it and your heart gets pumped up and say, yeah, I'm going to do it. And we walk out the door. And it flies away. We start Monday morning off good, but then we get a phone call. Well, I guess that's not true. No. The furnace for gold, the finding pot for silver, but God tries the heart. He's going to show us what we're made of. He already knows what we're made of. So what does he do? He takes that gold in the rough, and he puts the heat and the pressure of life on him. And all of a sudden, what flows to the top is the dross. But when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. If I don't stir it all back down in there and forget it's there. You know what happens? He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh. It's mine and I don't want it. Shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. Now, ordinary faith. Jesus said, "If you have," he said, "there's two of you. Go back and watch." Jesus says, "If you have faith of the grain of mustard seed, you can say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up and planted someplace else." But then we also know that he says, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say this mountain be removed, and it will be. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it's harder to move a mountain than a tree. Why does he say that? Because it's not greater faith. It's all faith in a great God. You see, well, he had so much faith. You only need enough faith, watch me, to move. Faith is not feelings. Faith is moving forward. This is what God said to do. Well, then do it. If I stand there and not move on his promise or his command, then I don't have faith, because faith is the evidence of things not seen. I believe in a God that I can't see. And I'll be honest with you, he's never spoken to me. I always want to say, Moses. Remember that movie? Moses. Be really nice. But there are ways to do that. Just before I took the church up in York, Pennsylvania, we got some York. Yeah, all right. Got some Yorkies over here. Okay. I was at Open Door with Dr. Shelton Smith. I was music director. I had 100 in a choir, 45 in a real live orchestra. I mean, we had everything. And it's what I always had kind of dreamed about. But I never thought God could use me to be a pastor, even though I felt called to do that when I was a young teen, but I stuttered so bad. I figured I could never be a pastor. In fact, tell you the truth, when I was at Dr. Smith's place, they didn't even let me really do announcements or pray or much of that at all, unless there was nobody else to do it. And in fact, we're only about an hour away from Open Door in York. Open Door is in Westminster, Maryland. We're in York, Pennsylvania. And folks, I'd been there for 20 years at Open Door. So people, we were friends, you know. So people said, we're going to go up there and see Sterling. And I didn't realize it about 2 years later that they were going home and saying, it must be God because Sterling can talk. The only problem is I can't get him stopped. Anyway, I remember saying this to God. I'd been working. I'd been studying. I said, Lord, if you just show me on a billboard, Sterling Walsh supposed to go to Africa, be a missionary, I'll do it. I just want to make sure that I'm in the middle of God's will. If I'm supposed to stay here, why? I just felt like I wasn't where I'm supposed to be. And I actually came home and told my wife about that. And she said, you know what? I've been feeling the same way about a year and a half. And I've been doing it for about 2 years. And I just didn't know. And so it was a couple years went by. But my heart was still unsettled. Meantime, I'm serving the Lord, doing right that I'm supposed to do. Meantime, I'm praying. Meantime, I'm presenting my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is my reasonable service. He may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to find out what God wants you to do? Surrender. Amen. I don't know. If I surrender, he might throw me out in the wilderness like Abraham. Yeah, he might. But I thought you wanted to be in the middle of the will of God. Or don't you have faith that he'll take care of you? You're afraid you're going to get out there and you're going to be the first thing that's going to happen. You're going to be in the middle of a famine. And you think you're going to die. When God says, I'm going to do something with you. Now, I didn't hear any audible voice. But I tell you, I had prayed that he'd talk to my heart. He'd talk to my wife's heart. Talk to my kid's heart. Talk to my folks' heart. Walsh's don't leave Carroll County, Maryland. You don't do it. I mean, we go all the way back. We've got Indian blood in us. I mean, you just don't go. You just don't leave. And I knew it was going to be hard on the whole family if we did that. But I won't tell those stories. But it's amazing what God did in all that. Here, what am I saying? Sterling Walsh, and I'm not great. I'm still not great. I'm not a great guy. But all I'm saying is, I've seen God move in my life, and the only reason is because I was willing to take those steps. Anybody. If Abraham can do it, a guy who came out of a mess of Chaldeans, they worshiped idols, all the mess that they, and God had come out and he said, okay. I'll give you these and that because I got something else I want to preach tonight. He believed God, and the Bible says that Abraham was called a friend of God. You want to feel the presence of God? Take a walk with him and don't go home. That's what Enoch did. He was called a friend of God. In fact, the word also has the idea of neighbor. How are we supposed to treat our neighbors? As ourselves. So if we're the neighbor of God, how's he going to treat you? I mean, he doesn't say, do as I say and not as I do. God does what he tells us to do. Can you imagine? We're called a friend of God. Got one more for you, and I'll stop. Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate, and I will be a father unto you. What did he say to Abraham? Come out. And he did. He had a daddy. Your family. not just a friend, but family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Joined heirs with Jesus, cleansed by His blood. I got about back, but you know what I'm talking about. I haven't sung that song. You all sang this morning, didn't you? Is that what you said? Yeah. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Now watch me, and I'm all done. You've heard that before. Abraham was a man with ordinary faults. Right? Faults. Help me now. And he had ordinary fears. Been there. So because of his faults and his fears, he has ordinary failures. But he had faith in the faithfulness of God. Not in who he was, but in who God is. He had faith in the faithfulness of God, and so he was called a friend of God. He was called family. Whew. That's good stuff. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your love for us and the way you take care of us. And Lord, I pray that you'll help these few words, these few moments we've shared here together to encourage some folks to walk by faith and not in fear. But Lord, we're all fearful. We all have faults. We all fail at times. And Lord, but we know that this is true. You're faithful. We can count on the faithfulness of your character, of who you are. Lord, we just need to take those steps, just enough to take steps. We can move trees and we can move mountains because of who you are.